the day we got born again, we were born into the promised land. You live based on what God has said. You carry it in your spirit. If He has said it, it's true. Your joy, your fulfillment, your mood is independent on happiness. So we don't live based on happiness. We live based on God's will. We live from the inside. Let your heart be established in grace. You are a mobile temple. Prayer is allowed anywhere, anytime. Sito kato, moti kate, rito kopoto kata, sudeke ponde kidede. Christianity is a display of divine essence, true men on earth. You see, when spiritual hunger gains the ascendancy, gains the dominance over your mind, you don't even see anything as sacrifice.
So as you grow spiritually, you generate a potential difference. And that potential difference will bring to you the monies you need, it will bring to you the people you need, it will bring to you the necessary materials you need to fulfill your God-given calling on the earth.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. You may be seated.
Thank you for providing.
Thank you for providing.
Thank you, thank you, thank you,
thank you for providing.
Oh, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you and we sing to you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I say Hebrews 6, right? You know, when we sing like this, you can see when some people have entered. Yeah, you can see when. You can see some faces and you're like, and they're asking, okay, Pastor, what's really happening? Hallelujah. But they're looking at their neighbor and wondering, Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
For thou, Lord, art the shield for me.
My glory, you lift my head.
For thou, O Lord,
for thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory, the lifter up of my head.
Thank you for lifting.
Thank you for lifting.
of the mountain. Set my feet upon the rock to stand.
Let's worship him in the spirit right now.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, spiritual song. Just give him worship. Maya la rosa na ne 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 roga sa da 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 da. Vele baga baga da 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 da. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna,
Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes,
who comes,
who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna,
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 Hosanna. Blessed is he
who comes
in the name of the Lord. In the name of the
Lord. Oh, blessed is he who comes. Blessed is he.
In the name of the Lord.
Blessed is he. Who comes
in the name of the Lord.
Blessed is he.
Who comes in the name of the Lord.
Emmanuel. Emmanuel. We want to see you. We want to hear from you. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. We here to see you. We want to hear from you. Yele baga baga. I enter the holy of
holies.
I enter through the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I enter. I enter the holy of holies.
I enter the holy of holies.
I've entered through the blood.
I've entered through the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, I've entered.
I've entered to worship you.
Yele prana no na de
Oh, God. 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 Oh, God.
magnify you tonight, Jesus. You are King. You are Savior. Lord, we love you tonight. We just sing to you. Irrespective of how we feel. It doesn't matter how we feel tonight. We just give you praise. We just give you glory. And we give you honor forever. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. God bless you. Most high, most high, most high, most high, most high, most high. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, living the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go up. Go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing the crucified for themselves of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Hallelujah. Interestingly, I think I delved into this on last Tuesday without even reading this. But precisely, I think I remember that we're still talking about spiritual growth. It says, of whom we have many things. I believe that's what we were. Everyone that used milk. That's back to the fifth chapter. Amen. And we talked about eternal salvation, right? And we handled that. And I answered the questions about eternal security. Okay. If you are not around, you should get the material. To answer the questions around, is one saved, always saved? We said yes and no. Amen. And we balanced it out with scriptures. Amen. Balance it out with scriptures. Let me tell you something. To say that people don't twist the gospel of grace is to lie. And it didn't start today. Never say. Let me tell you. You know, Kenneth Hagin was a macho man. He was. You know, people say, why do we always talk about Kenneth Hagin? Why? And most people who play down on Kenneth Hagin, especially those who ourselves are clean prophets and apostles, who think Hagin's revelation is junior and they have new revelation, they always run into trouble. The spirit of error looks for them. I know exactly what I'm telling you. You know why? Hagin did not send himself. You know, when we begin to receive people as gifts from God, we will look beyond the frailties of their flesh. We'll look beyond the limitations of their body, the limitations of their minds and of their dispensation. And then we'll begin to look at the office and the systems they represent. I've told you again and again that certain people are not just sitting in ministry offices. No, they have systems. They represent God's system of certain dimensions on earth. It is the truth. You can't look at Kenneth Copeland and just say Kenneth Copeland is a teacher and a prophet. No. Kenneth Copeland is a representation of God's system of kingdom prosperity for this dispensation. Your church may be bigger than his,
But if you want to subscribe to that dimension, you must recognize that this is the system. And we have said that when you look globally, every ministry that has broken forth into the billion realm, globally, all have a connection with the Copeland's anointing. Either direct connection or an indirect connection. We call it the Copeland's connection. Why? Is it because they like his face? No. He represents a system. Is somebody following me tonight? He represents a system in the body of Christ. He represents a system in this dispensation as far as the whole and the big picture of God's plans and purposes are concerned. Is somebody following me tonight? So you look at Benihim, for example. You know it's a system of the healing anointing for this dispensation. Everybody who went had reigns of crazy bodily healings and mighty, as far as the workings of miracles and healings are concerned, in delivering people from bodily oppressions, mental oppressions, have connection to Dr. Benihim. It's just there. Glory to God. I'm just giving a few out of many possibilities, okay, out of what many of those systems are available. Very important. And remember, I was talking about Kenneth Hagin before I mentioned all this. So we have to see him as someone sent to the body. And an apostle of balance sent to the body of Christ. So when it's amazing. Have you ever seen a man who had so much depth of God's word, who taught and taught, who gave priority to teachings, and yet when you talk about visions and revelations, he was an elder. I believe God gave him those combinations to silence people. So they don't say, oh, you're just talking word of faith. You know, when you see this, when you see into the spirit. Kenneth Hagin, not many people on earth were privileged or are privileged to have that dimension and recurrence of deep encounters of the God kind. And that is the truth. He met with the Lord Jesus. The one he told us was, is it seven times? That's six or seven times. Now, that was the one he was permitted to share. Specific encounters that brought answers to the questions that had plagued the body of Christ for centuries. Yes. With clear answers. When you read those answers, you know this is God talking. Do you know this is God talking? So such depth of revelation, of visions, we call them encounters of the God kind. Out of body experiences, all kinds, satellite visions, all kinds. Satellite visions. All kinds. But he said something. He said, on every subject matter, stay in the middle of the road. You can feel young and exuberant and despise statements like that. When you grow up, you agree. On every subject matter, stay in the middle of the road. You know exactly what he said. Now, do you know that Apostle Paul was a preacher of grace? Are you aware? And do you know that people twisted his gospel to their damnation? Peter talked about it in 2 Peter. You can put 2 Peter chapter 3. When you begin to read from verse 5, 6, I believe. He says, about the revelation given to our brother Paul. Elos, according to the dispensation of grace committed to our brother Paul. You can give the phrase. You said, dispensation of revelation. He says, some are hard to understand. You have to understand that this is Paul. This is Peter talking. Peter the Pope. Pope Peter talking. The official head of the church on earth. You understand what I mean by that? But look at what he says. Go to the previous verse. Let's say verse 4. Okay. Go to 6. No. Go back. Someone should check it for me now. It's in chapter 3 now. He said, which those that are unlearned twist or rest to their damnation. That's verse what? 16, sorry. All right. And also, you know why I said 5-6? Because the last verse was 18. I thought it was 8. Also, as also in the epistle, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Now, this is an apostle writing about Paul. Which they that are unlearned and unstable twist. The word that means to twist. Those that are unlearned and unstable twist. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. When you go home, you can check it up. He's talking about Paul's writings. The writings of Paul. The message of Paul. Who after Jesus was the first great preacher. He says, those that are unlearned and unstable, they twist it. As they do also other scriptures. So to sit by and say, grace will balance itself, is not true. I've listened to people I know. And I've heard testimonies from those close to them. And I know exactly that they do not understand, that something is missing somewhere. They don't understand the concept of God's grace. They don't. If it happened in the days of Paul, it's still happening now. Meaning these guys were not outside of church. They were not outside of church. For them to be twisting scriptures to their damnation. It's Paul's writings, they twisted it. And then other scriptures to their own damnation. So they are not outside of. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Alright, still highlighting eternal salvation. So where do we pick it from? For when he ought to be teachers. Okay, we handle that. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Alright. I'll just say a few things from verse 13 and verse 14. Then we'll move to chapter 6 fully. Very important. Verse 13 and 14. Very important. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. You know, before then, he said, you act as people who are in need of milk and not strong meat. He said that. And he says, everyone that is using milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Now, I've taught you about layers of scriptural interpretation. Very important. That means the scripture is like onions. So you peel and peel and peel and peel until you get to the core. Very important. And when you know that God is omniscient, you agree that, look, in one scripture, God can hide many things. Do you understand? So we'll talk about literal meaning, physical meanings, spiritual meanings, implied meanings, and all that, and all that. In application of scriptures, it is so. Glory to God. Now, one of the things we can draw out from that verse 13 is this. That until you understand the doctrine of righteousness, you will remain a spiritual baby. I say that again, until you understand the doctrine of righteousness. There's such a thing as the doctrine of righteousness. There's such a thing as the teachings about righteousness. There's such a thing as the doctrine of righteousness. So he's saying, any believer, he may be ordained a pastor, if he doesn't understand the teachings about righteousness, he's a babe. He's a babe. He's a babe. The Greeks call it nepios. You know, when you get to really study the meaning of nepios, when the Bible says he's a babe, amen. We're not talking about your babe, amen. He's a baby. He's a baby. He's a baby. Glory to God. He's saying that person is a baby. Now, when the Greeks talk about nepios, it's not just someone who is physically a child. No. The original meaning of nepios means a child in understanding. So, he's not talking about, oh, this is just a newborn babe. First Peter chapter 2, he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, right? It's another Greek word that was used there. It's brephos. A child, biologically. That's brephos. As newborn brephos desire the sincere milk. So, but the baby used there is nepios. It means to be a child in understanding. And most times it is referred to someone who should have come of age, but is still acting like a child. Are you following it now? Are you following it now? So it's very important you understand the doctrine of righteousness. What is righteousness? Why are we righteous? Or who is righteous? How does the righteousness of God come? Oh, I can spend a whole month on that. But here's the point, very important. If you don't understand the doctrine of righteousness, you are still a spiritual babe in the realm of the spirit. You know why? There are things you can't put together. You will not really understand the movements of the spirit, the dealings of God, and the operations of God. You won't. If you don't understand the concept of righteousness, it will be difficult. You must know that number one, righteousness is a gift from God. Number two, righteousness is the nature of God, the core of God, injected into a man at the new birth, conferred upon a man at the new birth, that causes him to live right and to do right. It is not simple. You must understand that. Very important. The Bible says, for if by one man's offense death reigned, Romans chapter 5, 17 verse, much more, they who receive abundance of grace, and then he added, and the gift of righteousness. That scripture should have settled the question about what is righteousness for the body of Christ. You know why? A gift. That word behind the righteousness is a gift. Do you work for a gift? When you work for something, what does it become? Wages, salary. You don't work for a gift. You know what he's telling you? You can never work for God's righteousness. Never. It is impossible. When you begin to work for righteousness, the Bible calls it your own righteousness. You have to understand that. It is a righteousness, but it is your own righteousness. And before God, it is filthy rags. Meaning it has no heavenly recognition. To be skillful. To be trained in the world of righteousness. Is part of your requirement for growing spiritual. Of becoming teachers. You remember verses before that. He said now you ought to be teachers. But you need that someone teach you again. The foundational principles of Christ. And one of these requirements is the doctrine of righteousness. Your understanding of righteousness. For when you don't understand righteousness, you are a baby spiritually. You are a child in understanding. He said, I'm a Christian, I'm born again. He said, what does it mean to born again? He said, it means to stop doing bad things. To stop doing bad things. And you go to church. You take communion. And you ask for forgiveness. Unskillful in the doctrine of righteousness. Why? They are babies. So what does it mean to be righteous? I say, when you do right now, you are righteous. Doing right is the fruit of righteousness. But righteousness first is a gift. It's a nature that you can never get without subscribing and receiving the sacrifice of Jesus. It is impossible. Is somebody following me tonight? So don't be a baby spiritually. Understand righteousness. Oh, I remember many years ago. You know, when revelation comes to you, you just enjoy it. You know, you go asking, how could I forget the day I found out that I was a saint? I never forget it. I was a teenager. I figured that I was a saint. I think I was 16 years old or so, or 15. That I was a saint. Oh my goodness. That I was righteous. That I was righteous. Before then, I was a church boy, but never believed I was righteous. I was told that righteousness is a process. Oh, how glorious it was. Knowing that I was a saint.
knowing that I didn't need to have died after many years, then they canonized me and called me saints. That I was righteous. That when I went on evangelism and you told me you were a Christian, I will ask you, I said, do you believe you are righteous? Then oh, you hear many responses. I said, what? How could you be righteous? No one is righteous. No, not one. That's those that know a little scripture. They are feeling good with themselves. None is righteous. No, not one. You know they have taken that scripture out of context. They don't even know what he's saying. Oh, the difference in the prayer life of that man and woman who knows is the righteousness of God. Oh, the difference. The confidence. The confidence. You can stand before Satan and his works as though sin never existed. It gives you a superiority in the presence of the kingdom of darkness. It gives you a confidence in the presence of your heavenly Father. You won't come begging. You will come boldly. Knowing that righteousness is a gift. Believing in your heart. That the day you say, Jesus, come into my heart. You have righteousness injected. Listen. Listen. The new birth experience is not a modification of the old life. It was an exchange life transfusion. That was what happened to you. Exchange life transfusion. The old life passed out completely. The new life came in. Glory to God. He's saying when you don't understand these things, you are a babe spiritually. Because Satan is going to flog you from left, right, front and back. Why? You will get into the place of prayer. Into the place of releasing your faith for things. And then you will still be thinking of what you have done and what you have not done. Listen to me. When you still think, especially in the place of prayer, in the place of receiving your faith, releasing your faith, you are still thinking that God is going to hear me or not hear me because of what I did or what I didn't do. You are a babe spiritually. You have not understood righteousness. If you knew you did something wrong, you receive forgiveness and repent. There must be a righteousness consciousness. Hallelujah. The gift of righteousness. And you know, it started from Genesis. That Genesis 15. It was there, 6 and 7. The Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. I taught you about inherited righteousness. How many of you remember? Who remembers? Three kinds of. Number one, imputed righteousness. Number two, inherited righteousness. Number three, personal righteousness. Oh, you remember. You really entered that. At three levels, we are covered. We are covered. We say there were three things required for a believer to see. The opportunity. No, the nature. You remember? The opportunity and the willingness. And we saw the answers at the three levels. For a person to sin, there must be the nature. If the nature has been dealt with, there must be an opportunity. And there must be willingness. And I told you that the new birth dealt with the nature of sin. The renewing of your mind deals with the willingness to sin. And the leading of the Spirit deals with the opportunity to sin. That means the Bible said the steps of the righteous are ordered. All that your leg will not carry you to transgression. Labeko social to kepa. Oh, glory to God. No, it won't. What a life! What a life! See, I'm righteous, and I am the righteousness of God. It means your nature is righteous. And then in the archives of the Supreme Court of the universe, righteousness is credited to your account.
eternal righteousness. It will take your mouth to reject it with certain things in place. We'll read it out for you to lose that righteousness. If I is impossible. I told you last week. Glory to God. All right, the next verse, verse 14, talks about, it says, for those who are mature. And I want to draw out the principle from there. Put it up for me. Verse 14. He said, for strong meat. You see, he says, those who are babe cannot take strong meat, right? They feed on milk. 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 No, imagine as a 25-year-old living through the year on milk. But children can live a whole year on milk. Do you know? Especially infants. That's what he's saying. An adult cannot live on milk. You can't even live on milk for 1 week. Do you know it's a parallel spiritually? You can't even live on milk for 1 week. As an adult. That's what they say. There's a place for milk. There's a place for strong meat. Peter told us, as newborn babes, you start with milk. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by. You know, there's the water of the word, there's the milk of the word, there's the meat of the word, there's the strong meat of the word. There are bones of the word. Glory to God. You grow. But here's the principle. Look at this. Meaning, if you see anybody whose spiritual life, whose productivity in the kingdom you admire, they were not born that way. It happened like this. Check this out. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. It means mature. Even those, how did they get mature? He told us. Even those who by reason of use, by reason of use, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern. You know, he's talking about spiritual senses. He's not talking about your physical senses. No. He's talking about spiritual senses. He's not talking about your eyes, your physical eyes, your physical ears, your mouth, your tongue rather, for tasting, your skin. It's beyond that. He's talking about spiritual perception. Do you know that your body is a reflection of your inner man? Are you aware? Meaning your physical body has eyes because your spirit man has eyes. Oh, come on now. Your physical body has ears because your spirit man has ears. You know why? The Bible calls the body our etchings. Our jacket, our clothes on the earth. Now, your clothes have hangs because your body has hangs. So God made an exude with hands because your spirit has hands. You have hands in the spirit. That's why we speak spiritually sometimes. We say, use your hand and take a hold of it. And sometimes you reach down in the spirit. You know, sometimes when you pray, it's like you are searching. You are, and you get a hold of it in your spirit. Why? Your spirit man has hands. Your spirit man has legs. Your spirit man has eyes. Your spirit man has ears. These are the senses he's talking about. Not your ears, eyes, and nose. Glory to God forevermore. There's such a thing as spiritual senses. Spiritual perception. It comes by use. You are wondering, how can somebody be given word of knowledge? Or how did this person know this? You've seen us do it here. In 2014, I remember very, very, my office was still at Minor Hotel. I passed by, no, when we talk about spiritual perception, it's not natural. I passed by a staff in the hotel. I perceived formalin, the chemical they used to embalm a dead body. I passed, it was not humanly possible. People were passing, I went off, couldn't smell it. But I passed by and I smelled formalin. And I knew what it meant. I knew the spirit of death was upon him. And I called him. I said, I see death hanging around you. He said, yes, sir. For 3 days now, my breath has been seasoned. It's as though a weight comes upon my chest and I can't breathe. And I prayed for him. He was delivered. How can you explain that humanly? You think it was with his nose I perceived it? And then how can you explain the dynamics of me perceiving formalin? I was trained as a doctor, so I understood what formalin was. The Spirit of God pecked. Oh, glory to God. But see, I had to understand. Another doctor can pass by and smell formalin and not interpret it spiritually. But in split second, I knew that was the spirit of death. I didn't think about it. I just knew. Can you see? Spiritual perception. Spiritual perception. Is that those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. That means as a business person, you can consistently know which investments to put your resources in and which not to, even when everything about it is looking like it. A Christian should not be deceived. If we understand these things, we should not be deceived in business, in ministry, in marriage, in this. How can you marry a wrong woman or a wrong man? Not with this, your senses exercised. But it says it doesn't come automatically. There has to be an exercise of your senses. And that comes by reason of use. Is somebody listening to me? By reason of use. Meaning the more you use it, the more at each. Oh, glory to God forevermore. And then you use and use and use it until it becomes a faculty. It becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of you. Spiritual senses. You see, when we go into that advanced, you can't really. This is where sometimes you cannot differentiate spiritual gifts from the development of their spirits. And the things they are able to pick up because their spirits have been exercised. Hallelujah. The Bible says, listen, Satan is getting more satanic. Are you aware? Listen, one of your greatest assets now on earth is a trained spirit. Never forget that. A developed spirit. A developed spirit. Do you know how many demons are having meeting on your head? And it doesn't get better as you rise. They increase as you rise. Because I told you, I say now there are some demons that don't know you. But as you rise, they come. Let us see, who is that? Shagabaya. Who is that? But you see, God wants you to be ready. Prepared. Let me tell you something. You can never fulfill your destiny in God without colliding with forces. Never. Except you want to be average and a joker. You want to rise. So this thing we've been shouting and prophesying about, you will collide with forces. You will collide with forces. They will come for you. And as you rise, there are times you'll be inside warfare and not even know. The importance of having your senses exercised by reason of use. He says this is the pathway that those who are of full age used. They know. They can smell it coming from 1,000 miles. They know. No, how did Paul know that the voyage was going to be with much harm? He said, I perceived. Listen, he didn't say God told me. He didn't say the Spirit told me. I perceive. God wants us to be so developed to a point that we are synchronized with His will. We are synchronized with His mind. We are synchronized with His Spirit. Meaning, you just know. You pick up the signals. Not because you heard a voice. You know that you know. Developed spiritual senses. Develop spiritual senses. And you can boldly say, I lose no money in investments. And you know exactly what you're talking about. You are not just playing with words. You know. When I want anything and I check it with God, I know how to get it. And you say that, you know what you're saying. having your senses exercised. You know, one major way to do that is speaking in tongues. Guys, this speaking in tongues thing, according to the New Testament, that is the doorway to the world of the supernatural. Whatever sphere, whatever industry you are, that is the doorway. That is the doorway to the world of unlimited. Speak in tongues abundantly. Don't be praying religious prayers. Oh Lord God, Jesus Lord God, Lord Father Lord God, most excellent, most gorgeous, most proficient Lord God. Oh God, our Father God, we are before you God, look on us God. Just start speaking in tongues. As we go out today, bless me, Lord. Bless my work, Lord. Bless my family, Lord. That's junior praying. No? Do you understand? That's junior praying. You want to pray maybe 10, 15 minutes or 30 minutes. You see, you pray a lot in a short time. Do you understand? If it's requests you are making, you just jam them into tongues. You jam them into tongues. Meaning what you downloaded in 15 minutes. Someone praying in English and talking can spend 3 hours to pray. Sometimes can spend a whole week to pray. That is the beauty of this thing we're talking about. What you put inside 15 minutes of tongues. Of heartfelt tongues. And you are doing ballistic prayer, you remember? Kai, quick charge. You say you are not feeling the presence of God. I've told you how to do it now. Which feeling the presence of God? I told you, quick charge, ballistic prayer. Under 10 minutes, burdens lifted, things achieved. 10 minutes. It's not the praying that you are thinking of the jollof rice. I think of the money somebody wants to send to you. No. Spirit, soul, and body inside prayer at once. You see what you do in 10 minutes. 10, 15 minutes. And then you pray loud and fast. Loud and fast so that your mind can be under control. Glory to God. Are you going to put these things to work? Put them to work. You have your senses exercised. You pray abundantly in tongues. Also, how do you hear God? Pray abundantly in tongues. Also, how do you get a word of knowledge? And listen, let me tell you this now. Listen, everybody listen. When you are desiring word of knowledge, please, let the desire not to be giving people word of knowledge. Let it be to use it to move your life forward in your sphere. Do you understand? Did you hear what I said? Well, it's a word of knowledge you are trying. You say, oh, so that I call somebody. I see. It's not what I'm talking about. Too. You have what God has committed to your hands. Use word of knowledge and word of wisdom to move you forward. That's the primary application for you. Don't try to impress somebody else. The first application is in the work of your hands. I told you that the Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. Every man. And I told you that in this end time, our advantage in the marketplace is the manifestations of the Spirit. Meaning every believer will stand there and manifest the Spirit. Glory to God. You pray in tongues. You put the word of God to work. You act on it with the lion and the bear. You put exercise. Have you ever believed God for 50,000 and he came? You put it to work. You need 50,000. You start believing God. Believe God. You can go and sow a seed. I said, Lord, this is the exact amount I need. And then it comes. I put it to work for 50,000. I put it to work for millions. Ah, There was a day I and First Lady held our hands together and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to sow a million naira seed. We did not to spend on it, so we just want to sow a million naira seed now. Let 1 million just meander to our hand like that. In 2 weeks, somebody gave us a million naira. In 2 weeks. And when it came, we knew. No, won't you know? Do people just give you 1 million naira like that? Our new Jesus was the seed we talked about 2 weeks ago. So you put it now. That did something to us. You know, after that, we have conquered 1 million. You understand? Or I believe in God to sow our first 5 million naira seed at once. Let me tell you. I told you, you can sow seeds in millions and have to trust us. Don't worry. You have seed in the soil. I've told you, it's better to have seed in the soil and don't have anything outside than to have nice things outside and no seed in the soil. Never forget that. Young people, are you listening? God's people, are you listening? It is better to have seed in the soil and nothing on the outside than to have things on the outside and no seed in the soil. Let the things you have on the outside be produced by the seeds you have sown. Do you understand? By the seeds you have sown. You know, this is not the energy of the flesh. This has been brought by the workings of God's grace, provoked by my convictions and practices. So I'm talking about exercising your senses. You so exercise it in the area of prosperity that you know how to move money from place to place. You can smell it when 10 million is about to move. You have your spiritual senses exercised. You know where to trap the monies. Glory to God. You know where to trap the money. You know when there is danger ahead. The Bible says, a wise man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. He said, the simple pass on and they are punished. The wise man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. The evil does what? They pass on and they are punished. You know why they pass on and they are punished? They have not exercised their spirit. Their spiritual senses are not developed. That's what makes them mature. Developed senses. And it says, by reason of use. And they are able to discern, to decipher good and evil. I told you he's speaking spiritually. So when we talk about discerning good and evil, it's not in the arena of this. Because it can look good on the outside. You know, this is evil. Do you know some open doors are traps? You know how many people have lost their calling by going to America? Do you know? Buried their destinies by going to America. Some was admission. Oh, I'll never forget his story. His story, it was Reverend Chris Yakilome that gave that story years ago about his friend when they were teenagers and they were preaching together. I don't know how many of you ever heard, you remember the story. He says they were preaching together. The young man was anointed. He says he was as anointed as he was. They were friends. They used to preach together. And then he says one admission came like that in the U.S. That admission for school, for university in the 80s. And he said it was something that's supposed to be good news. He said, but something in his heart was dissatisfied. That the admission came for that his friend. And he asked, he said, have you prayed about it? And the guy wasn't really serious about praying about it. You know why? You know sometimes when you have, how do I put it across to you now? Well, bottom line, some open doors are traps. And I can assure you that he had a check in his heart, but didn't follow through. He just said, this is good, it must be God. But he said he kept telling him. He said one day he said, I don't know. It looks nice, but I don't think you should go. And the guy just said, what do you mean by that? What do you mean?
I said, I don't think you should go. I don't think you should go. Stay here. Let's do the work. Stay here. Let's preach and all that. Well, he left, went to America, went to college, joined the army, really became irrelevant. He did. And about 15 years later, when his friend was everywhere, I think that was on the Met, 15 years later. And he told him, he says, wow, great. He says, I've been hearing about you everywhere. I've been hearing about your impact everywhere. And he looked at him. It's not a good story. Do you understand? But I'm sharing it so that you understand that some open doors are traps. You must have, and you see, you don't need to be highly spiritual to even pick some of these things up. But the frequency and how quick you can pick them up is what I'm talking about. When it has to do with major area of your life, you don't need to be very spiritual. You pick it up. It will come to you. You either choose to not pay attention to it. It will come. It will come. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed tonight? Developed spiritual senses. And by reason of use, you can discern good and evil. You can discern good and evil. The Bible says Satan can come as an angel of light. But with this discernment, you will know. You will know. You know, actually, that one of the greatest gifts in this end time is a developed spirit, right? A strong spirit. You know, part of that developed spirit is discernment. Do you know you need discernment in this end time? Very well. So when Satan comes and dresses like an angel of light, you will know. Somehow you will know. You will know. Your spirit has been trained by reason of use. You will know. You will know. You know, before, when you see supernatural, you're just excited as a young Christian. But as you grow up, you can see demons in the eyes of preachers. I'm telling you. You can see demons in his eyes. This is not the spirit of God. And then sometimes you can't even explain it. But after you have said that, months or years later, you start hearing stories. Discernment, you know. You cannot be deceived or misled. This is someone who just comes. There's this investment. They present the studies and everything looks like it. The projection looks like it. And then you want to transfer funds and something in your heart says no. Sometimes it could be a disquietness. You're just somebody calls it the umpire. You are just, there's like an alarm that is set off in your spirit. You have no peace about it. You have no rest. Is that thing working? Or pay attention to it. The Bible says when God speaks, he speaks peace. You just can't put it together. You can't. You're disquieted on the inside. Pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. Don't just say, no. You just quote one scripture. Let me tell you, I think I've said it here before. The protection that God promised you is in the leading of the Spirit that He has brought your way now. Do you understand? The prosperity that He promised you is in the leading of the Spirit that has come to you. You know what I mean by that? Somebody is going to board the flight. Oh, I remember that someone I know in that flight, that 2012, Dana. Everything happened to keep him out of that flight. Everything happened. Everything possible. He was the last to enter in. Sir, you know the person I'm talking about. He was the last to go in. All kinds of delays, everything. And when we get to heaven and you ask him, he will tell you that something was happening on his inside.
You know, this is why teachings like these are important. God's people must be taught God's word and the mechanism through which God operates. So don't say, no, the Lord shall preserve me in the air and in the... No, that preservation has come in that leading that is leading in your heart. That's the preservation. It's not the one in the written scripture you're trying to quote. No. That disquietness, that word in your heart, you know that. Look at precious Bimbo, Mrs. Bimbo, look at Pastor Bimbo. Look at. Do you know, some of you have heard the story. For days, she kept telling her husband, I don't feel like going for this meeting in Port Harcourt. I don't want to go. But it was like the second time they were fixing the meeting. The first time I couldn't go. He said, but I don't want to disappoint these people. I don't want to disappoint these people. I don't want them to cancel this meeting again. I don't feel like going. I just don't feel like going. She kept saying it for days. You think that's just not feel like going? That was God fulfilling his scripture about protection. When I heard it, I was like, Kai, this thing is consistent. I didn't just feel like going. I've canceled journeys before. I've canceled journeys. Cancel journeys, change flights. Don't say I changed it, but that flight did not crash. Mu told you it was because he was going to crash. But you are training yourself. Do you understand? Is somebody getting me? You are training yourself. The next time you pick the signals faster and better. And Walmart, years ago, oh Jesus, there was a flight going to South America. I think it was in Brazil. It was supposed to have a big meeting, like a national meeting. Publicity had been made, thousands of dollars spent. People were ready. And Walmart was coming here. And flight was booked. And God told him in his heart, don't travel. He couldn't believe it. He did and did, but he knew it was God. He prayed and prayed. He didn't go off. He prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. He didn't go off. Now, sometimes you can pray and pray and pray, and God will give you yellow light. You know, there's red, there's yellow, there's green. Yellow means go, but be careful. No, they are available in the spirit. Yes. Yellow means go, but be careful. And I can give you a perfect story about that. And you can get a green light, but you can get a red light. And you pray and pray, it doesn't turn to yellow. Or turn to green. Leave it as red light. Do you understand? Leave it as red light. He prayed and prayed and prayed. Red light, you're not going anywhere. No, years ago. He didn't go. That plane crashed. Everybody inside died. Everybody. Nobody survived that plane crash. Nobody survived it. He was at home. Glory to God. Having your spirit exercise right to discern. That's what I'm talking about. To discern. To discern. And thank you. Sometimes it comes as instructions from authority figures. Let me tell you something. Listen, don't despise instructions from authority figures. Your pastor, your mentor, don't despise it. Don't. Especially in major areas. When I counsel young people, I tell them as it is so. As when it comes to marriage, you do not hear the voice of God. There's somebody God has spoken to concern it to confirm what you think you are hearing. Meaning if there's no confirmation, please don't form spiritual. You have two people out of the authority figures you have saying, just hold on. I'm not just comfortable. Baba, just calm down. Don't say, but I know how to hear God. I hear God for myself. And you know what I said, and I included me. I told myself years ago that when it comes to the area of marriage, I don't hear God. You know what I mean? I don't hear God. Meaning after I think I have heard, I must receive confirmations from certain places and subject it to the scrutiny of the authority figures over my life. It was a decision. And that's me. And I think he's wise. We're not saying you can't hear God, but you see the dynamics. Don't insist that you heard God when authority figure is saying, calm down. Don't insist. That's what I'm saying. Don't insist. Because they are not trying to indict your ability to hear God. They are not trying to abuse your ability to hear God. Forget that spiritual thing. People say hearing God before you came. Yeah, before you came. So forget that. Forget that spiritual thing. People say hearing God before you came. Doesn't mean the Lord lied to me. Hi, God. Let me tell you something. At certain seasons in your walk with God, you learn to follow people without asking questions. Do you understand? It will help you grow. Somebody came for counseling. This and this is what's happening. I found out. This guy is double, triple date himself. Okay. And there are certain things he has done. He cannot be a husband. He needs to learn first. And his sister is telling me that. But the Lord gave her confirmation. Such that even the relationship she entered, the Lord didn't make it work. Because the Lord said, that is her husband. As he says, take it from me. That is not your husband. I have a personal issue with you. I don't have a personal issue with your walk with God. But listen to what I'm telling you. Is that not common sense? Must you try to prove that you heard God? Glory to God. Have you been blessed tonight? I'm out of time. Rise to your feet with a shout.
You have just listened to Pastor Erasmus Amewell, the senior pastor of the Embassy of Heaven. For more messages and information, log on to our website, www.theembassyofheaven.org. Stay blessed.